Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, a licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, emotion worker, and Earth Day activist. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
You know, I wish I could claim to be any sort of Earth Day activist, but I am woefully underrepresented in the Earth Day movement, which is why it's the topic of conversation for this afternoon, because every week when I do this show, every week when I think about coming in, you know, what are we going to talk about? What's the subject? We try to relate it to mental health and well-being, right? We try to really talk about how we're caring for ourselves and caring for each other. But it gets more and more difficult every week for me to come up with topics that don't start with, first we need to heal the earth. Because when I read all of this, you know, brain science that's happening and all the new apps for dealing with anxiety and depression, or I read research on how to, live longer and healthier and all of the, you know, efforts that go into research to curing diseases. And, you know, I mean, I'm steeped in that world all the time. And then I'm surrounded by, you know, students who are concerned to the point of obsession about what will I do for my career? How will I make money? How will I be able to afford a car? And, you know, having conversations with them on a daily basis. And underneath all of that, the thing that is a challenge for me is I feel like saying, does anyone else see the elephant in the room? Because why are we continuing to put so much energy and effort in all of these areas if the thing that sustains us, the planet, is deteriorating, and that our quality of life, or life at all, is going to be questionable over the next 50, 100 years? And so I'm finding it more and more difficult every week to say, hey, here's the latest and greatest thing that's going to, you know, improve your mental health, well-being, or your physical health. Because what I want to say is, but unless we, you know, do something about our water sources around the country and around the world, unless we do something about, right, climate change, unless we do something, all of this is kind of for naught. And so I don't want to sound dark, but I am a little dark when it comes to this topic. And, you know, I was thinking, here it is in April, and what are the things we should be thinking about in April? And, what are the movements or the causes of April, so we can build the show around it? And of course, I go, Earth Day happens in April. And then I started doing my reading and realized Earth Day is April 22nd. That's the designated day for Earth Day every year. I still remember the first Earth Day in 1970 because I was 9 years old and in third grade. And we had a very progressive school, or maybe we're just like a lot of schools at that time, and started a compost pile and a garden and put up, you know, flags, you know, save the earth. I mean, I can remember that as if it was yesterday. And then I must have gone to sleep for a very, very, very long time, and started realizing, you know, every now and then I'll see information about Earth Day celebrations or Earth Day things that are happening, but really not that much. And yet, if I don't even want to know information about a wine and cheese fest or about a car show, or, you know, I can't stop seeing advertisements for that. But when it comes to something as fundamental as maintaining life on this planet, why isn't April 22nd a global holiday, or just a national holiday, or even a state holiday? You know, because we're crunchy granola California land, so you would think we would at least have it be a state holiday where we took that Friday off and then nobody drove, right? And we get off all of our electronics and we spend a day kind of just in nature for one day in the state of California. Why don't we just even do that? And I'm already revved up and I haven't even introduced the show just because of that. So anyway, today we're going to talk about Earth Day and the Earth Day movement, and is it still a movement, or is it just a movement for the people that are involved in Earth Day, right? Because when you're deeply invested in a cause, it feels like a movement because you're surrounded by people with the same love for the cause. But is it a movement if people aren't joining in, right? It would require movement. Are we gathering steam? Are more people getting involved? So we're going to explore the topic of Earth Day, and have we gotten to a point where too many people are not vested because they feel like it's too late to have Earth Day? or it's too late to care, or if I just keep moving as quickly as I am, working all the time, or, you know, worrying about my kids' education, or staying focused on, you know, paying my bills, which a lot of people are just bogged down trying to live. If I just keep moving fast enough, maybe I'll outrun this anxiety I feel all the time that we need to do something to protect the environment, and nothing's happening, and it's so overwhelming that I can't think about it. I'll just put that anxiety on the back burner and keep running as fast as I can. I don't know. I don't know where we are in that. So it's going to be the topic of conversation today. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of our conversation at 805-781-3875 or on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. We post the show titles or the show topics every week. So if you want to prep, do some reading, you can check out our Facebook page. It's also on our website, thereluctanttherapist.com. And you can send me emails to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. I always enjoy the feedback. And as well as you can talk to Brian on the phone and leave questions with him if you're a little too nervous about going on the air. And I understand that. That's fine, too. You can also podcast our shows at iTunes or on your app on your device. If you look up A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, make sure it has the KCBX logo on the picture. And if you say subscribe, you will have our shows downloaded onto your device every week, and you can keep up with whatever topics we are talking about. And also, because it is our week between pledge drives, so there's not any interruptions in the show, which is nice. But if you'd like to do your part to support programs like mine, you can always call in and give your pledge of support. 543. Brian, help me with that.
It's 549-8855 or kcbx.org. It's pretty easy there.
I only have one number I can memorize, and that's for the phone line. So I'm looking to you for the pledge drive ones. But yes, you can continue pledging your support, and that will shorten the pledge drive next week when we get back into it. So today, I would like to introduce a guest that has coerced to come into the studio today to talk a bit with me about Earth Day and what's going on and an event that's happening locally here in San Luis Obispo County. Sandra Marshall is the director of the Earth Day Alliance. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you here today. So if for those who don't, maybe are way too young to remember when Earth Day first started, or maybe don't even know that Earth Day is a thing, I'm going to talk a little bit about the history, and then you can fill in the gaps for me.
Sure.
Okay. So Earth Day is credited to being founded by Gaylord Nelson, who was a U.S. senator from Wisconsin. What I read, it said that he was really moved by the oil spill in Santa Barbara in 1969, for those who haven't lived here all this time, but that was one of the most devastating, or the most devastating, oil spill that's till that time, right, to ever happen on
Yes.
U.S. soil. He also was inspired by the student-led anti-war movements at that time, also the civil rights movement, the feminist movement. There was a lot of movement around a lot of big causes in the late 60s. And so he was seeing all of this energy and also a new consciousness that was coming about, emerging in the U.S. population as a result of Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, that was written in 1962. People were starting to connect this idea that pollution impacted our physical health, which I always find mind-blowing, that it took us until almost 1970 to realize that we're one big system and that if we foul the waters, we foul our health. But all this emerging consciousness led to, I guess, Senator Gaylord worked in a bipartisan way with Republicans and Democrats to kind of push this environmental movement into the national political conversation. And it ended up being selected April 22nd. The idea was that it was between spring break and finals to inspire all of these activist students on college campuses to come out. And as a result, 20 million people took part in the very first Earth Day. Students took to the streets to protest against the deterioration of the environment. Many different groups who had already been active for many years in different environmental movements kind of came together behind the Earth Day celebration. And by the end of 1970, we saw the formation of the United States Environmental Protection Agency and the passage of the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Act, all around this one effort to recognize Earth Day. And then subsequently, since then, in 1990, there was another global campaign that went global, bringing Earth Day kind of to the world stage. And then in 2000, there was another movement that was spearheaded by a March on Washington. And then around 2010, the Earth Day movement seemed to stall out because there was so much more pushback from the climate deniers at that time. And then big business and big corporations and big nonprofits, I guess, kind of stepped in and started co-opting Earth Day and the grassroots movement of it. And it has become, in some ways, more of a big business. So what did I get right and what did I get wrong, Sandra?
Well, it's all a little of everything. But before 1970, there were already people looking to make environmental changes. So there was a man by the name of John McConnell who proposed an Earth Day the first day of spring, 1970. You very seldom hear about it, but that's where it started. It was all the environmentalists, Margaret Mead and different people like that, that thought the Earth, we need to be friendly to the Earth, which is then friendly to the people. So that was his part in it. The one with the colleges, now I never heard of Gaylord Nelson for quite a while. I heard of a lot of college professors that were doing it at Chico State, San Jose State, across the country. So I don't know that any one person can really take
it. Inspired all of the students.
Yeah, and the whole world movement. Yeah. I do have a hard time with that. I think that he probably did things, but it takes more than one person to make a movement like that. But I'm glad that he did his efforts. And Nixon, I mean, he's the one that made all these things happen. Mm. It was during his administration that all the different environmental things happened. Republicans were for the environment at one time. It just shifted.
And so where are we now in 2016 in the movement? And is there a movement still, as I mentioned earlier?
Well, if you go on the internet to the Earth Day Network or whatever, you think there's a huge movement. And I think there is. I mean, it's actually because I've been part of EcoSlow and the different businesses I've been involved with, strong environmentalists. I was part of Diablo. My house was the office when it first started to stop Diablo. So I've been involved in that. And I do think that things are really happening around the world more seriously than here. Hmm. We as people choose what we listen to and watch and what we read. So we are ignoring some of the things that are going on because you don't feel like you can do too much. And it is scary. I mean, I'm very nervous about where we are right now.
And are you talking locally or globally or both
globally,
of the same? Okay.
And locally. I mean, just the weather for us. And my in-laws live back east. The weather. It's so obvious. But, you know, we kind of just settle in and keep doing what we're doing. But what about 10 years from now? Mm-hmm. What about our children? What are we doing to make a difference? And that's why I do Earth Day, is to say, unfortunately, it's only one day a year, but come out and you really will. If you just do one thing, or if you do one thing every day, you'll contribute to this other, the whole, in both the mental and physical, because I believe it's on all levels. You'll contribute.
So tell me about the Earth Day Alliance and the Earth Day Fair and Music Festival. And I'm assuming this is not a first annual. 26th year.
26, yeah.
Okay.
And we were one of San Luis Obispo. I was living in Santa Barbara at the time, and that's when their bigger ones started. Yes, they started doing little ones in 1970, but then there was this urge or surge to let's do a national one, huge national one, because there hadn't been anything going on. 20-year anniversary. So they did one in Santa Barbara. It was kind of small at that time, and they did one here at Cuesta College here. Chris Christopherson came.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a really great thing. And the whole community got involved. Now, I wasn't here. This is a story that I've heard about. And I came moved back here a couple years after that and been doing Earth Day ever since. And we used to have it downtown, which makes it really easy for people to come to. Now the county parks is hosting it. And so we get to have the park for free, which makes it free for us to be able to do this or that part of it free. The buses run for free. So I believe there's a strong group of community cities that are supporting it, but our community isn't aware of it. And we're not, because we're not a corporation, we're just people, we're not out there raising money and doing all these things to put it in their face.
It's not high profile or glossy enough.
Yeah. And we have a glossy flyer, but that's about it.
Do like it. And so it's this Sunday, April 24th from 10 to 5, and it is at El Choro Regional Park. And it's going to be at the Botanical Garden also, which is beautiful. And you said the buses are running for free to bring people out. And so we have this free event with music and different exhibits and things for kids. And so how many people do you anticipate coming?
It averages, depending on San Luis Obispo and all the different events going on, anywhere from 1,200 to 2,000 people.
And what would be ideal?
3 or 4.
1,000 or individuals?
Individuals. I'd love to see. The park can hold 4,000 people, and it is a free event. And if people would just – it's more like an open house. Mm-hmm. So you come for a little while, you might enjoy something. This year we have 2 stages of music and speakers. We'll have people that are running for office or people want to talk about their business, or you get to see all the businesses. We're doing yoga classes this year, trying to bring in that health side of everything too. So it's a pretty good event. Kids show, probably 10 different vendors for kids that really keep the kids busy so everybody can have a good time. And important to in that park, people don't know about the park. It's so nice. And you can go there free during the week, enjoy it till sunset. On the weekends, they charge $3. But it's your park. It's your county park. And that's what we're trying to get people to know. You have this San Luis Obispo County. It's beautiful in the first place. Come out and visit. And then learn what you can do to make a difference right now.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest right now is Sandra Marshall. She is the director of the Earth Day Alliance. We're talking about Earth Day, which is Friday the 22nd. And I'm wondering, again, how many people know that Earth Day is the 22nd? Why isn't it a thing, and should it be? Or are a lot of you feeling like it's just too late to care, or maybe we shouldn't have a celebration for Earth Day because we should be having a mourning for the Earth, maybe more of a funeral? I mean, I don't know why there isn't more energy with the younger population, because when I go to different meetings or different events, it feels like it's a graying experience, you know, being with the people who maybe have the time or the interest to be activists. Because if we look at the history of Earth Day, you know, there was this movement on the college campuses, professors talking about environmentalism and, you know, the energy behind the war, anti-war activism. But I don't see a lot of movement on our own college campuses today. You know, I see a lot of – we had the Cal Poly open house, and they're showing off all of their activities and tractor pulls and, you know, things that they're doing. But nothing about environmental or sustainability or Earth Day, you know, recognition, or shutting the campus down on the Friday and, you know, talking to these students saying nothing else you do matters if we don't do something about this. So I'm wondering what you think. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. Sandra, what do you think?
Well, you've hit a lot of nerves for me, because we offer it up for everybody and we look for volunteers. And you're right, we have maybe 3 clubs that are going to participate. And the zero waste, you know, the typical. But it's not as active as it even used to be 10 years ago.
The
college campus. Mm-hmm. No one from Cuesta. It's usually – and so what we're really getting back to is you look at the whole culture – how many people are really involved? Now, maybe they recycle and all that kind of stuff, but they're not going to show up at your event. That's what I'm hoping, okay? Mm-hmm. But because they're going to want to go to a concert. They'll spend $100 for a concert but not come to ours for free. I have no idea. That's a different thing that I don't understand about people.
But do you think
you
that –
you might.
But, there's a part of me that keeps going back to the mental health piece that I think there's a lot of unconscious grieving that people are feeling and the sense of loss and hopelessness about the earth. And I wonder if something like the Earth Day event makes people almost more sad to come and want to celebrate and want to be a part of it. But underneath it all, they're feeling like, but it's all for naught. You know, it's like almost the idea of coming makes them more sad and more full of grief. So they avoid it and try not to pay attention.
Well, there's probably some truth to that. How many people have fought really hard and maybe donated years of their life to be shut down?
Yes.
Look what happened with the Coastal Commission. You know, it's just like democracy. Are we being heard?
So not people really. Are feeling frustrated on many levels.
On many levels.
Hi, Garrett. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind? All right, Garrett, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi. So I'm just a little bit curious as to why it is that we're seeing this decline in activism in our student population. I'm a student at Cal Poly right now, and I've just seen people just stop caring about these things in general.
And so what do you think, though, Garrett? I mean, if you are a student, are there things that you're passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, my dream has been for the last 3 or 4 years to work for the National Park Service and to give back to a sentiment of environmental stewardship in this country that has built so many great things and has brought us so many great things. And I feel like I'm not on the same page as everyone else, at least in my generation, you know.
So what do you see going on at Cal Poly? I mean, are there small groups, or do you feel like it's just career-driven? What do you think's missing?
Well, I think there is a large career-driven aspect to it. I think people, it's easier to be comfortably numb than it is to be, passionate or you know, caring about something that is so impactful and is so, it's at our doorstep as something as impactful as climate change is, you know?
So do you feel hopeful, Garrett? Do you feel hopeful for the future?
I try to hold on to the hope that I have, but it is battered down day after day when I see things that concern me as to where we're going as a whole, as a society.
And so, Sandra, what do you have to say to a young man like Garrett? And I guess Garrett needs to come out on Sunday and be surrounded by people. Garrett, are you going to be at the fair this weekend then? It seems like you need to be there to find your tribe.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the Sierra Student Coalition on campus is going to try to be a part of it, and I'll be there in support for sure.
Sandra?
That's great. And if you want to come out on Saturday to help to set up, you can be deeper involved. And we do want to try to make Earth Day every day. So we can always work on things to make future efforts, because one day is a drop in the bucket to everything that we need. But if we can make an impact on that day, or you might find other people to associate with, it's kind of like our club. It comes out. We'd love for everybody to be a part of it. People are intimidated too, to go to something new, and they don't have the knowledge. They think they need to know something to be part of Earth Day. You don't need to know a thing.
So if Garrett wanted to come out and get involved to help set up on Saturday, he'd be welcome to come out and meet some people. And because it seems like a bridge between the campus and what's happening in the community would be important, don't you think, Garrett?
Oh, absolutely. And I think although this segment isn't about the climate at Cal Poly, I think there's a large portion of the Cal Poly community that would rather ignore a lot of these crises and would rather continue on with the status quo than to be open to change and to find hope in the positive ideas that can come about to answer these challenges that we have, you know?
I agree, Garrett. And maybe this isn't a one-time conversation, so I hope you'll stay, tuned in for other opportunities, because maybe we do need to just have a direct conversation with the students on campus about their sense of hope. Because thank you for calling in, Garrett. Here's a student that, has the desire and wants change, but feels like he's hanging on to hope. Yeah. So I imagine that the rest of the students, I don't think it's a matter of being completely ignorant to the crisis, but I do feel like they feel powerless. And they feel like if they don't pay attention, it might go away. Or maybe they're waiting for grown-ups to do something.
That I believe, is part of it, too, is that they're looking forward to us, and we've kind of let them down. I've started hearing that probably 20 years ago from some of the students, but I never saw them come forward. I started when I was 25, and I've just kept going. So I know how that feels at that time. They were bringing Diablo Canyon here. Mm-hmm. I was worried about my children in the future. And I just don't get why people don't feel that same way right now.
Is it too many things?
Probably too many. And again, you get labeled. You know, I have a lot of friends, but very few that do what I do, you know, that go that far, because sometimes you have to stand up in a room of people. You might have to go to a protest. They're worried about what people think. And I'm at that point where it doesn't matter what people think.
Right. So actually putting yourself out there and maybe having people judge you in ways is hard.
Yeah.
805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. Charlie, what's on your mind?
Okay, I've been a lifelong tree hugger. Anyway, I'm happy to say that the Lompoc area is having one of its first real cleanup area at the Bridge House, which is on Sweeney Road, and the Interfaith Alliance is having a service at the Christian Church also. I think some of the pushback, there's a play by Henrik Ibsen, Enemy of the People, that really talks about the pushback. Are you familiar with that play?
Enemy of the People, no.
Yeah, it's apparently it's a, there's an alpine village somewhere in the mountains. The main economic driver is a spa where people come up for healthy waters. A young physician from the town comes back, and there's a typhoid epidemic, and he finds out that the typhoid epidemic is coming from the spa. And then there's a big fight, and because this is threatening the livelihood of the community.
And again, I think that's what we see as you're talking about pushback. And what Sandra was saying at the top of the show is that when the corporations get wind of something that's going to make it difficult for them to make a profit, or if they find a way they can make a profit on something like the Earth Day movement, then the people lose out.
Pretty much. The bottom line, we need to just take back the power ourselves. And my motto with this, or the motto with this, is that it will only happen if we all work together. And it's everything. Okay, we're talking about the environment right now, but you know, I know, it's everything. We have to all work together. We have an opportunity for a huge shift in our country. And this is one event of many events that people just get up and stand up and make a difference.
So you're feeling like when we had that moment in the late 60s where a lot of movements came together, the civil rights movement, the Native American rights movement, the feminist movement, Earth Day, it was like all came together. And so it was almost like a cultural demand for change.
And you brought up women. Look what's happened to women.
Right.
We had a huge movement, and all of a sudden it stopped. And we just get stopped either. Right now I blame it on the commercials. I blame it on the money aspect of everything, because people don't think they have power. They give up because they're working so hard to make the money that they make. The plan, I think.
Well, and I also wonder, because we see, you know, these things that were passed in 1970, the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Act, all have been gutted in profound ways over the course of the last 30, 40 years. And the same with women's rights. So many of the rights that were hard fought for in the 70s have been gutted. And so I think that's what we're seeing is, you know, we have to get uncomfortable enough, right? People have to be uncomfortable enough to deal with the discomfort of trying to help make change, because it's not comfortable standing up or protesting or making your voice be heard or taking a stand. But I think we have to have all of these rights or these protections eroded enough that people finally can't ignore it any longer.
I think we're there.
Jackie, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, Elizabeth. This is Jackie Marcus calling. Your
my poet friend. My poet friend.
I just wanted to add my 2 cents worth. As you know, I've been a contributing writer for Buzzflash at truthout.org as their environmental writer.
Good.
And I'm gonna say real briefly a couple of very depressing things, and then I'm gonna say something that might be a very good solution.
Okay.
Because I don't like to end on a dark note. But first of all, our oceans are dying. If you take the BP catastrophe, right now, that ocean is dead, Elizabeth. It is dead. It is not coming back. And the reason for that is there's a coating of degraded oil as much as 2 inches thick that extends across nearly 3,000 square miles of ocean floor. And it is expected to remain there forever. And when I say forever, I mean I'm over 25,000 years. Now, when you kill the plant life, you kill the food chain, and the bottom of the food chain is dead. So if anybody wants to read more about that, I highly recommend a Harper's article by a professional writer that's written some magnificent books on this subject, Antonio Yohez. She has an article that came out, and you want to write this down, 30 Million Gallons Under the Sea, Harper's Magazine. You can read it for free. Just look that up on Google, and it will give you a direct link.
So, Jackie, what's the good news?
Yeah, that's the bad news, is that ocean is it's over with that, with the Gulf of Mexico. It's over. That's a dead zone now. Now, what I'm concerned about is what your guest has been speaking is nuclear power, and nobody's talking about this, Elizabeth, and it needs to be said. And I'm telling you that this has been censored. I have tried over and over and over again to write about it and get confirmations as an investigative journalist on the connection between the Fukushima and the 300 tons of radioactive water that has been being dumped into the Pacific Ocean for now 5 years. And suddenly, nobody can figure out why all these mammals are washing up dead, hundreds and hundreds of them. There's more I could say about the various connections. It's not just one thing, but that is one domino effect that's causing problems. And it's going on and on. And it's like, oh, we're supposed to just accept this, where they can continue to dump 300 tons of radioactive water and expect no consequences. So seals are washing up. I'm not talking about one seal or one otter once in a while. We're talking about a mass fish kill, a mass kill of seals and otters and so on. There is, I believe, I swear to God, I think there's a connection. And I've been trying to get the science and put it together. I've written about it. But boy, is that subject censored. It is, no one allows you to even come near it.
So, Jackie, I so appreciate your passion, because I think this is what so many people are feeling. But at the same time, as I'm hearing the passion in Jackie's voice, it makes me anxious, because I think if this is all we have, then is it too late for the Earth Day? You said you had some good news, so you've got 30 seconds. What's the good news?
Okay, 30 seconds. All right. The positive news is that electric cars now are very affordable. You can get an electric car for $18,000 and tax benefits. Solar energy is very affordable and very effective now. Get on it, folks. And instead of going to your fossil fuels and keep giving them, you know, the money that's doing this kind of damage through nuclear and fossil fuels, we've got the technology. We got the option. Don't spend your money on a gas car.
Thank you. Next car
you get... You know, buy an electric car. They're affordable now. And try to check into the solar, because that's how we're going to get out of this.
Thank you, Jackie. That was quite a statement. But I think that passion is what a lot of people are feeling. And I'm wondering if it is precisely that kind of information, that passion, that makes our young people frozen.
Yeah, I mean, just terrified. Like they don't, they're that, and they don't know their future at all. I mean, compared to our, when I graduated from high school or college, you had so much to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, it's disaster, it's murders, it's all. And guess what? Who's running it all? The media. So that's the other thing. We could educate and get people on a better track if they knew the truth. And it's true. They are hiding the truth about Fukushima. And I thought they had stopped the water from leaking, but I don't know if that was really true. But it may be too late in a lot of cases, and they need to admit it and find solutions if there are any solutions.
Right, to at least have a chance to make some things happen
and
change.
Tell us the truth.
And again, we're so hard on the young millennial generation, but I hear that, and from the perspective of my students, I can imagine how that would feel so overwhelming, and that they're not quite sure where to go. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Earth Day, and can we still have Earth Day with hope, or are we seeing so much destruction that it's hard to be hopeful? We'll be back in a moment to take your calls.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875 as we wrap up with my guest, Sandra Marshall, the director of the Earth Day Alliance. Sandra, thank you for coming in, and remind people once again about the event this weekend.
Okay, it's Sunday, and come from 10 to 5. You can take the buses for free from downtown district. The Transit Center, got to remember all
yes.
that, and or park at Cuesta College. We have shuttles coming in, and can be an all-day event. You can bring your own food if you want to, but we have plenty there, and there'll be all kinds of activities going on for everyone. There's a special show for Brittany App with Where There Once Was Water, which is really important. We're going to feature her talking. She's really put us on the map for the drought problem, and she's going to be creating her own movie soon. So there's just many things for you to meet some of the local politicians.
Lots of music. Yoga classes.
So we've added here education with fun.
I love that. And it's all free.
All free.
And all ages.
All ages.
And easy to get
yes.
to. And it's a place of hope. And I think that's the most important thing, right? Is
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
there's a lot to be fearful of, but we really need the hope to outweigh it.
And we're going to be giving 400 oak trees away.
Oh, wonderful, for people to plant at their
yep,
homes.
Yep.
So, Sandra Marshall, thank you so much for coming today to talk about the Earth Day event. And we are discussing Earth Day and whether or not it can just be a global, like, can it be a global experience, but can it also be a local experience? And what are your experiences with Earth Day? Do you feel like there is a lot of hope for the future, or are we kind of stuck where we are? Eleanor, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I say that we should make it local and what we can do to make a change. Now, I may have the name wrong because I'm new to the area, but isn't it Mount Diablo or this?
Diablo Canyon, if you're talking about the nuclear power plant?
And they send something back into the ocean that is not good. If you're... there's a way to be active in that. And the other thing is I've been an organic farmer, and there are ways to increase our organic farming so that we don't have so many chemicals. And I think everybody knows all that, I hope. And so to support that by buying and asking for more organic if it isn't available, so that the farming people know that we want organic, and if we support them, they will increase their farmland to organic. And there are multiple efforts underway to increase it. The U.S. organic farmland, I'm reading from a magazine that's GMO and non-GMO.
Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you, because, you know, when we talk about Earth Day, we're not just talking about climate change or just the oceans. We're talking about the choices we make every day in the food that we eat and how our food is processed. And you know, we get back to the era of Rachel Carson that kind of started the Earth environmental protection consciousness with her book Silent Spring and the use of pesticides, and we see that pesticide use increasing. You'd think we'd get to a point where we wouldn't have them at all. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and I'd like to invite Kathy King into the conversation. Kathy, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. I wanted to hear from Santa Barbara and the Earth Day efforts down in your area, and you're part of the center, the Community Environmental Center?
Community Environmental Council, yep.
Council, I'm sorry. And so tell us what's going on in the Santa Barbara area and how you're feeling about the efforts or the movement around Earth Day. Are we seeing a movement, or are we stalled out?
I think we're definitely still seeing a movement. We just had our festival this past weekend, and we had nearly 30,000 people come through, which is our usual number. And I noticed that a great many of them were probably under 30, which I think is a good sign. We also are having an easier time sourcing food locally. You know, it's a challenge for particularly startups to service that many, that kind of volume of people. And this year we had a sustainable food court for the first time, where there are so many food vendors in our area that are sourcing 50% locally, which is what we asked of them for the festival. So we're definitely on the upswing in terms of new businesses that are, you know, from organic coconut oil sunscreen to flip-flops made with natural rubber. We had a really wonderful variety of vendors and attendees this year that I felt like there was a real happy vibe.
So what do you see as the future of the planet? Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel like there is a model for where we can get to? Because I often wonder if the reason we're stalled out is that we don't actually have a vision for what sustainability looks like. And if we had a picture, maybe we could get there. Or does that picture exist and I just don't know it?
I think it exists in a lot of different iterations, and it is sometimes hard to filter through the noise that's out there and the greenwashing that can be out there. I mean, we really, at CEC, we try to make it simple and boil it down, and we have five main initiatives, which I heard a previous caller talking about buying electric vehicles. We're all about that, and we have a green car show at the Earth Day Festival, and we do two other green car shows a year, and we've been responsible for getting a lot of charging stations in the area. So we talk about, you know, getting electric cars, getting solar on your house, eating lower on the food chain and more locally, getting out of plastic. That's the particular program that I run, which is called our Ditch Plastic Program, which, you know, the single-use plastic, you know, consumption is really out of control. So we try to, you know, show these easy ways that people can do one thing and make a difference. And this year's Earth Day theme was all about that. It was it was one world, one climate. So we were feeding off of the Paris climate talks, which I think is something that's very hopeful, that all those countries came together to sign on to an agreement to reduce their carbon emissions, but also to bring that home and to not have that be so daunting for people that this is this huge, huge problem, but also that your individual actions can make a difference.
So do you feel there's hopefulness in the young people and what's happening at UCSB?
UCSB is the most sustainable in all of the UC system. They've won multiple awards for that. And, you know, they've got their water almost all recycled now for their outdoor use. They compost everything. I think UCSB is a real leader on that front. In terms of youth in general, you know, what we see when we track trends, especially in transportation, is that young people are not buying cars nearly the rate that our generation did. So right there, you've got a huge carbon emission savings because these kids are connected via their phones, so they don't have to drive to see each other. They can see each other in one, you know, tenth of a second on their phone, and they're opting for public transportation because they'd rather have a phone than a car.
That's for sure. I mean, we see that daily. And so do you feel that the young people feel hopeful? And what's the happy vibe in Santa Barbara? I mean, is that just in the local aspect or in a global sense?
We can only do what we can do locally. I think that globally, the Paris talks really did, you know, provide a wave of goodwill across the planet where, you know, the small countries that are really feeling climate change this very minute, like the Maldives, were as much a part of the conversation as China. You know, and that's what was so needed, was for all these countries to come together and to, you know, acknowledge the problem and start mapping out what they're going to do about it. But, you know, that, again, that can be something that's really challenging for anyone of any age to comprehend. So I think at the local level, what we need to do is to break it down, you know, and say, you know, shop at the farmer's market, or, you know, look at what you're eating, eat lower on the food chain, eat less meat, you know, don't give it up altogether if you don't want to, but eat less, or, you know, ride your bike. I started bike commuting about 2 years ago, and boy, I am just hooked on it, and I get grumpy if I have to drive, because the co-benefits of all of these things can be so amazing. I mean, when I started riding my bike to work, it was all about, you know, being green, and now it's so much more than that. It's about feeling healthy and, you know, seeing people up close when you come up to a light in the stop sign rather than just, you know, being locked away in a car. So I think, you know, that there's hope in all of those things.
Right, that getting people connected to each other and caring about each other and not in our own little silo-like worlds, I think makes a difference when we realize we are in it together. And so, Kathy, because Earth Day, the event has passed in Santa Barbara, if people still wanted to make it more than just a one-day thing, how can they get involved with your organization?
Well, they can sign up for our e-news at cecsb.org. And we put out a once a month newsletter of what's happening that particular month. Like next month is Cycle Mania with a big MAY in the middle. And so we get involved with various events going on with that. That's how I got started on my bike commuting. There's a bike challenge, you know, where businesses and companies have teams that ride their bike and you get points for how many you do. And there's lots of events with that. So, I mean, we have stuff going on all year round. Earth Day is our biggest event, but, you know, we're always reaching out to people and asking them to, you know, show up at city council or the board of supervisors. We've led the regional effort on community choice energy, which is moving forward and could be incredibly huge for reduced carbon emissions out of this area, and also a big boost for local renewables. So when we need people to show up, for things like that, that's you know, something that you can stay connected to us via our e-news, and we'll let people know when we need them.
CECSB.org. Kathy, yes. King, thank you so much for taking the time to call in this afternoon, and we appreciate all the hard work you're doing down in Santa Barbara.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's my pleasure.
Have a wonderful day. This is Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. We're talking about the state of the planet and Earth Day, which is coming up this Friday. And do we need to make it a national holiday, you know, or even a state holiday? Should we take our kids out of school and go out for a hike in nature? Should we have everyone turn off their smartphones and get off the social media and make it a day that we're off of everything technological? And we're just out there in the world, because if we don't pass down the world and earth preservation values to our children, they will not learn it in the way that they are learning about life today through screens and technology. Kathleen, or Kurt, I'm sorry, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, excuse me, caught me off guard.
Sorry, Kurt, you waited a while.
I particularly wanted to say thank you to Sandra for doing this for all these last years, 25 years or whatever she's been doing this.
Yes.
Carrying the banner.
Yes, dedicated.
Yeah. And I think it's absurd to rely on the young people to save this. Mm-hmm. Young people have been stepping up for some time and have made a big difference over the years, but it's becoming part of the normal conversation now as an issue. And these international conferences and so on sort of bring that up. Because nobody'd be talking about it if people weren't interested in it. I think, you know, I didn't always think so, but I think there is real hope, but there's real opposition to doing things that aren't just purely profitable for the corporations. So Sandra's work and your work is greatly appreciated.
So, Kurt, do you think that this is an elder's issue then, more than a young person's issue? Do you think it's on us, the elders, to get it together?
I think it's on everybody. I mean, everybody's becoming aware of this, is aware of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of noise. I think somebody used that term just a little bit ago.
Yes.
Out there, and it just sort of goes on. It's so big, and we feel just detached from this. But it's when the individuals just do their little bitty part, mm-hmm. It makes a big difference. And if somebody feels a certain way about it, to just suck it up and stand up and do it, they'd be amazed how powerful that is at public hearings.
Absolutely.
You don't have to do it well. There was a woman in Shell Beach years ago that every time she got up to speak to city council, she was crying. And it engulfed everybody because of the torture she was going through. And she became a powerful speaker in her struggle.
Yeah, so there's something to that, Kurt. Thank you. Yes, to encourage people, if you do get up and speak, it might be frightening the first time, but people will come out around you. I think we always are amazed by how many people support us when we do take a stand. And if we take no stand, the silence is what kills us. Shelley Higginbotham, mayor of Pismo Beach, we're just talking about your area. What's on your mind today? Hi, Shelley, are you there?
No, this is Miguel Chick in Carpinteria.
Oh, well, then that's a whole another phone call. Hi, Miguel, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to point out that since the 80s, we know what a sustainable society, what principles it has to follow. You can read about it in thenaturalstep.org.
Naturalstep.org?
Yes.
Anything
so
else?
We have the information. What we face is a political issue.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I was asking before, Miguel, is there a picture of what we need to do? And so you say yes. That picture exists. There is a sustainable model that exists.
Came up with the picture in the 80s.
And so naturalstep.org is where you suggest we go to find more information to make it happen.
Well, to understand the basic principles for a sustainable society.
Wonderful. Thank you, Miguel. Thank you for taking the time to call in. And that was kind of a surprise. We were expecting another voice. Kathleen, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a business called Foundations in Nature, and I'm also the co-founder of a local organization called Outside Now.
I am familiar with your organization.
Yeah. That's wonderful to hear. I just want to first thank you for bringing forward that piece about kind of crippling the young people, mm-hmm. because I see that a lot I don't think that there's any shortage of information for them to see. They see it everywhere, how bad things really are. And I think it's really important that they remember that there is hope, and that just stepping outside your door is so important, and that the landscape has all the answers for us. We just have to remember how to listen to it and how to tap back into that deeper connection to it. And that's something that the young people have forgotten how to do, because we haven't reminded them how to do that, because they are so connected in the media and all of that. We need those things, but we also need to remind them what else they need. And it's amazing when they do that, what happens to them and the ideas and the things that come for them. And I do believe in this next generation, that they can fully solve the problems of the world, because they're more brilliant than ever before, really, if we look at all the things they're doing and capable of and the access they have. There's another thing that I wanted to bring forward is this idea of sustainability. Mm-hmm. I think that there's another way to be, and it's instead of sustainable, it's regenerative. Mm. And the kids are also brilliant at listening to that language of the landscape that shows them what's regenerative. But it requires a connection instead of just looking at it and appreciating it and saving it. How do we interact with it? Because the landscape speaks in languages, and language is an interaction between two things.
Right, so it's more than just passively observing that nature is there and beautiful, but it's being actively engaged in nature, right? Interacting with the everything that has an energy, the water, the plants, the trees, and knowing that there is an energy about it. Because I don't know if children see the three-dimensionalness of nature, because they're used to seeing so much through screens. Or that I remember, you know, taking my nephews out once to walk Morro Sandspit, and they said, "This looks just like a video game." And I thought, so it's I worry about that, you know, that separation between the actual experience and seeing it through the lens of a screen.
Absolutely. And you know, there's another element to that, too, that that's so important that adults start catching on to and remembering. And we can take them out, but integration, which is basically learning the language, mm-hmm. It's not a guarantee. That's a learned skill, and that comes from reflection from adults to children, and answering that curiosity. So when they come to you with a curiosity, you're responding to that in a way that gives it enough meaning for them to continue to be curious about it.
So for people who want more information about Outside Now and your work, how do they get a hold of you, Kathleen?
Yeah, my website is foundationsinnature.com, and Outside Now is outsidenow.org, I believe.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to call in and doing all of your good work out there.
Yeah, thank you so much, too.
Have a good afternoon. And, Rick, you get the last word today. We've got about a minute. What's on your mind?
I think that if we all get together to solve these environmental problems, we can actually greatly increase the economic activity in America. The idea that environmentalism is bad for the economy is total nonsense. And that's one of the reasons that there's been the progress has really been held back. The Republicans in Congress prevented President Obama from going forward right in the very beginning of his presidency with a big, massive campaign to put solar cells on, on homes all over America. And it's that kind of, you know, they're like defending the fossil fuel industry. But it's that kind of like partisan nonsense that keeps us from all getting together and saying, okay, let's actually solve these problems.
So it seems the first thing that has to happen then, Rick, is to figure out how to monetize or show the economic benefits of saving the planet, and then you can get buy-in from different sectors is what I'm hearing.
Well, yeah, maybe. I think the thing is it's a very big concept, and a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their minds around economics in the first place.
Absolutely. But I do appreciate that, you know, if we can figure out a way to show that our economy can sustain or carry on, even in making the changes to have a more global sustainability or regeneration of our environment, then I think we have a better chance. And I think that that is where a lot of organizations like caringeconomy.org, who are trying to show that we need to make our gross domestic product include things like our natural resources and the caregivers in society. And Rick, thanks for being the last thought today. This has been a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of the conversation on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or at my website, thereluctanttherapist.com. You can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, and you can podcast this show and all previous shows on iTunes under A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, or go to our website, kcbx.org, and listen to previous shows. They're all there. You can also take a moment to pledge your support for this show and other shows during our silent pledge drive. You can call
549-8855.
There's someone waiting all the time to take your call. And also you can go online
to kcbx.org.
I'm going to leave you today with some music from the Dave Matthews Band. And I encourage you to get out this weekend and be a part of the Earth Day celebration at El Choro Regional Park on Sunday. And I appreciate, as always, your support for Public Radio KCBX.
Don't give up. I know you can see. All the world and the mess that we're making. Can't give up and hope God will intercede. Come on back. Imagine that we could get it together and stand up for where we need to be. 'Cause crying won't save or feed a hungry child. Can't lay down and wait for a miracle to change things. So lift up your eyes, lift up your heart, singing, mercy, will we overcome this? Oh, one by one, could we turn it around? Maybe carry on just a little bit longer, and I try to give you what you need.